One of five melodies, actually the middle melody of Prokofiev's five melodies, Opus 35, Gil Shaham, and Orly Shaham. Orly's the important one in that half. She's here in Rochester, and she's in our studio here on Classical 91.5. So you do a lot of chamber work, and that, we just heard a recording of some chamber work. What is the difference between when you step out on the stage inside of yourself, what is the difference between an orchestral and recital and chamber? Do you actually walk on that stage in a different energy place?
Yes, you definitely do. There's a different kind of focus, a sort of a focus beforehand when you're going on to do a concerto or when you're going on to do a solo recital. But I approach, well, solo recital is really its own beast. No other musician goes on and actually just takes the stage alone for an hour and 45 minutes of music. You usually at least have an accompanist or some kind of collaborator, somebody. Only pianists go out by themselves.
Do you work from memory?
I usually do, although I'm now more interested in learning more repertoire, and I have less of a focus on always making sure I memorize. I actually had this exact discussion with Jackie Parker when we were playing in Seattle this year, and he said exactly the same thing. He'd come to the same conclusion. We all work so hard to memorize things, and that's wonderful, but there comes a point in your career where, as a pianist, you want to partake of all the breadth of repertoire that's out there, and if you're going to make sure that you can, you know, that you also have everything memorized in that sort of way, and that you can play it without the music, you're just not going to be able to add that much to your repertoire as you go along. So when I play a solo recital, I would say, you know, 95 to 100% of the pieces are I do from memory. That's a certain kind of way of looking at it.
So at least you'd have a page turner to keep you company.
That's right. At least for one piece, I might have a page turner. And honestly, that does make a difference. There is a psychological difference to walking out on stage with somebody else, even if they're not supposed to make a sound. And at the same time, you know, when I walk out to play with orchestra, it's sort of a combination of those of, you know, solo and chamber. And I like to focus on the chamber music aspect of it. I love to make music with other people. In the end, I turned out to have picked exactly the right instrument for my personality. I am definitely a person who likes to work alone and not have any interruptions, and so I'm happy to do that aspect of the piano. And yet, I love people. And I love finding out what they bring to the table. You know, how they change my music making. And so as a pianist, I get to have a bit of both of those.
When I was doing the theater thing back in the day, and I would have a big monologue or soliloquy, which I would, you know, memorize, unlike some people in this room. No, I'm just kidding. One of the challenges, in fact, the biggest challenge for me, was pacing myself. I would get out there all alone to do this thing and then feel like I was out there forever. It would often feel like, you know, I would start rushing through it. I would want to get it done. Where do you find the internal metronome to keep yourself from pushing through too fast or dragging back too slowly?
You know, it's something that you're always striving for, and it's something that you sometimes aren't aware you have or don't have. That's actually something that I listen, you know, to other people's comments about things like that. Sometimes you think you've really got it figured out, and somebody says, you're rushing through that passage, and you suddenly, oh, you're right. I was rushing through that. I hadn't realized that at all. And we all, you know, when I'm teaching young students, that we all, there are certain places where we all rush. It's sort of a human tendency. You've got a scale that's going up, and it's crescendoing. The odds that you're not rushing are, you know, 0 to 1%. And so there are certain places like that that you could be very aware of and watch out for. Sometimes rushing is good. Sometimes that's something you want to do in the pacing. Sometimes you want to push something forward. Sometimes you want to make sure you hold it back. And it's great to have a check on yourself. You know, it's great to have, in that way, it's great for me to work with a conductor that I like as much as Christopher Seaman. We were talking in rehearsal today about one chord, and I said, I really like to, you know, play that note very quietly with the orchestra. And he said, sure, and then you have to hold it. You really have to hold it because it's a surprise cadence. And you want to make sure that you just hang on just extra long enough to let the surprise sink in. And sure enough, we got to the place, and the two of us sort of pushed each other to what felt to me like exactly the right timing. And, you know, the other side of that is, of course, the exactly the right timing on Thursday at 7:30 may not be exactly the right timing for Friday at 11.
Our guest today is Aurélie Chaham. She's playing with your Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra tomorrow night, Saturday night, with information at rpo.org. You are also the curator of the Pacific Symphony Chamber Music Series. Are you still doing this?
I am.
All right. So what is a curator of a series as opposed to a music director?
Well,
is it just a really cooler way to say it?
Well, a music director implies that I also direct the music making in each case, the way a conductor, you know, does. So curating is really, it's the other part. I mean, yes, I perform in most of the works, and so in that sense, I'm involved in the chamber music, but it's chamber music. I'm not the director of how the violinist wants to play his solo.
A baton is not passing into your hands.
No, not anytime soon.
So, you know radio well, but we'll talk about your radio career in just a bit. So how do you build a season for a chamber music series?
Well, in fact, we just put together next season, so I'm just fresh from this process. And what you like to do is to have a number of different ideas that perhaps speak to each other, both across the season and within a particular program. So in a particular program, you might put together a few works. You know, it's exactly the same way a curator puts together an art exhibit, which is why I think the title is apt. You decide to put those three paintings in one room, and you know that the fact that they're all in that room will make each of them say things that you might not have heard otherwise. Same thing with works of music. And when you're putting together a program, you try to put together pieces that bring out some aspect of the other works on the program as well. And likewise, over the whole season, you want to have some kind of thread of different aspects, different ways of looking at music and what music can offer. And that part I love. I love trying to figure out, well, that one will go here and that one will go there. And of course, then there's reality. I can come up with programs that I would love to do, and then I call up the powers that be at the symphony, and they say, well, the budget's like this, and so we need to cut it down to only 14 different musicians during the season, or whatever the number is. And of course, it whatever that number is, it's 33% less than the number I'd been hoping for.
And at least 10% of them won't play what you have in mind.
And we're doing a festival in that week in our subscription, and we'd like your program to match that festival so that it becomes, and those things come in. And I actually find that very satisfying, too, that, you have those constraints, and yet those constraints sometimes release a great creativity.
So what is the thread for the upcoming season?
Well, we actually have, we're really looking at composers very specifically and how the compositional process works throughout the season. So we're taking a very intimate look at Chopin, at Schumann, at Beethoven. And then we're taking an artistic look that is from the point of view of the visual arts of Ravel, Mussorgsky, and Bruce Adolph, a wonderful composer working out of New York today. And so we're sort of looking at the compositional process of all these people and through the lens just of music, and then expanding it to the visual arts, whether they're influenced by them or whether they influence the visual arts.
Our guest is Aurélie Chaham, and she's playing the 23rd Piano Concerto of Mozart's, along with the RPO, also on the program, The Magic Flute, and this, Mozart's Symphony No. 39. Here on Classical 91.5 is Günter Vaunt and the Symphony Orchestra, the Radio Symphony Orchestra of Hamburg. And if you need more information about this concert for tomorrow night and Saturday night, rpo.org, the place to go. Final movement of Mozart's Symphony number 39, Guntervant and the Hamburg Radio Symphony Orchestra here on Classical 91.5. It'll be your RPO and Christopher Seaman tomorrow night at 7:30, Saturday night at 8, with tickets information available at rpo.org. And someplace in the middle of those is the Piano Concerto number 23 with our guest today, Orly Shaham. And Orly, I jokingly said, what's new? Because a lot of things have changed since you were here last. One of the biggest changes is you've got twins.
Yeah, it's two changes, actually.
In every sense of that phrase. Because how old are they now?
They're two and a half-year-old boys running around my house and saying things like bass and Jupiter Symphony and whole note.
Whole note.
Very
glissando.
We haven't gotten glissando, but we're working. We are saying pizzicato. It's very cute.
So now that you have kids, and in this case, twins, which is a lot of work. I mean, I had two 3 years apart. I can't imagine two at the same time. So what does that do to your professional choices now?
Oh, it really sharpens the choices. You know, I don't take on anything that I don't absolutely want to do now. I really, the bar has been set much higher professionally. I really only accept, you know, I like going away. I enjoy focusing on music, but, you know, leaving my kids at home, any mother would have a hard time doing that. So I take on only the gigs I really, really think are worth it. Even more so than before, and that's actually, it's wonderfully liberating. It means I've felt just by having sort of made that decision, I felt the caliber of everything rise almost instantly.
So we should be extremely flattered that you're here in Rochester and playing with the RPO.
I would never have said no to this. I really adore Christopher Seaman. I love to play with him, and I would never say no to an opportunity.
They're two and a half. Are they looking at? Are they making? Like,
they're looking at colleges. Yeah.
Exactly. Have they grabbed for instruments? Is there any sense at all?
Oh my God! I can't. This is just Nathan, who is the cutest thing you've ever seen, and that's just not just coming from his mom. He is obsessed with a violin. He thinks the violin is the most wonderful pinnacle of society. And he has a little toy Chinese violin that plays, you know, Paganini and things, you know, electronic sort of thing. And if he had just that and maybe a couple of Thomas trains, he'd pretty much be set for a week. You know, he doesn't need any other distractions. And there's a video of me and Gil playing some Mozart sonatas. And this is his favorite video. He keeps saying, you know, because they speak Hebrew and English. And he says, Ima ve Gil seret, you know, which is, you know, mom and Gil video. And that's, he would watch it all day if he could. He just, you know, I didn't think you could tell this early, but I'm afraid there's a musician in there. And Alex, you know, it's so funny because they're so completely different. Alex's way of showing that is he always has a song going in his head. I know this because in the middle of the night when he wakes up, he's singing. In the morning when he wakes up, he's got, you know, it's one song after the next. And he remembers, you know, they enjoy the Jupiter Symphony because it's on the Baby Einstein, Baby Galileo video. and they love planets, and that's the planets video. So they think Jupiter Symphony is all about planets. And they sing the little themes. And, you know, Alex remembers the little doohickeys that come in the third theme. It boggles the mind. You know, he's two and a half. It's not like he's you know, capable of many things that are that complex, but he certainly is on that level.
And I suspect, though, that you will be a little careful making sure not to turn them into hothouse flowers musically. Wait, how do you avoid that with your husband, the conductor, and, you know, dad's a conductor, mom's a pianist. So how do you avoid that?
And I actually have to say the worst part is we have the best, absolute best music program for little kids that I have ever seen two blocks away from us. So they go to music class, you know, once a week, and they have this great teacher. They get to play. This is really, I am very involved in music education. This is the best education I've seen for that age, sort of the preschool age, where they get to play seven or eight instruments every week, and they sing and they learn about whole notes and half notes, and they It's all interactive and involved and done with constant live piano accompaniment, so that it's all music all the time. And, you know, what am I going to say? No, you shouldn't do this. And they love it.
Our guest has been Aurélie Chaham, and we love having you here. Don't make it another 6.5 years. Don't do it earlier than that, would you please? We never got to talk about Dial a Musician, but the next time you're here, we'll discuss radio.
All right, sounds good.
Nice to have you here.
And great to be back.
And again, tomorrow night and Saturday night, you can go to 454-2100 to get more information about Aurélie Chaham and the All Mozart Program with Christopher Seaman and your Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra, sending you out not with Mozart, but with Dvorak. Here's Aurélie Chaham along with her brother Gil as they play one of the four romantic pieces on WXXI.